When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on all your back-to-school needs, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean ground beef for $3.99 a pound with your card. Then get Oreo cookies, Chips Ahoy, or Kool-Aid jammers for $1.99 each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome, everyone, to Couch Potato Diary. Happy Monday. My name is Peter Klein. Thank you very much for tuning in today. Going to be a busy one today as we look at the NHL and NBA playoff races. WrestleMania was amazing. We're going to look at what to do now coming up on Monday Night Raw. And UFC 300 is this weekend. We're going to look at the storylines for the main event going into that one. But we begin today with a little bit of hockey talk. So the Stanley Cup playoffs are just a couple of weeks away, and it's still a lot to be decided seeding-wise in the West, but who's getting in the East? And Islanders are getting in, aren't they? As, like, look, they have some pieces on their team I don't mind, that they have a few players who are actually pretty fun to watch. They just are the least interesting of all the options that could potentially get in, right? Like, Philadelphia, John Tortorella speaks for himself, and the history of the Philadelphia Flyers. Washington, Pittsburgh, Crosby and Ovechkin, one last stand against whoever would be the top team in the Eastern Conference. Detroit have battled their way through a rebuild and are now here. And the Islanders just kind of existing. But there they are, third in the Metro, coming off of a really good win against the perpetually hot Nashville Predators. It's their fourth win in a row. Now, they're kind of only here because of the failings of some other teams, and I do want to give credit to the New York Islanders, as they have New York Islandersed their way into this spot. But it's just, I'm kind of over it with them. Like, I've talked before about, you know what, the sport's more fun when this team is interesting. They ain't one. I'll be honest. They're just not one of those teams. So I wish them all the best. Except I hope they finish ninth. The failings of some other teams. Washington and Philadelphia have just fallen apart. And regression is smacking Washington right upside the head at the wrong time. Neither team have won any games in their last five and just feel like they are fading. And it has allowed the Islanders to kind of leapfrog a couple of teams and get in. But it also, along with the shortcomings of the Detroit Red Wings as well, have allowed the Pittsburgh Penguins to potentially become the darlings of the postseason. They sold at the deadline. We were wondering what direction the franchise was going. We had so many conversations about where Sidney Crosby could end up, and the realistic answer might be the Stanley Cup playoffs, and we never saw that coming. It is really cool to see what an absolute tear this team is on. And look, Crosby's not going to win the heart because of how great Kucherov, McDavid, and MacKinnon have been, among several other phenomenal performances this season. But this is one incredible run for Sidney Crosby, just absolutely saying, look, we are not losing and dragging this team. They have a monster game against Toronto coming up. They won a couple of huge games over the weekend. It has been so much fun, and they are now just a point out entering play tonight. In the Western Conference, the Stars take control with a win over the Avalanche, and it feels like Colorado gets more headlines, Vegas gets more headlines, here in Canada, Vancouver get more headlines, and everyone's kind of forgetting about how awesome the Dallas Stars are. And they have had some young players come in and give them absolute life. And now you're looking at a team that in the early part of the season was kind of struggling to score some goals. Now they come in and they have offensive firepower up and down this lineup. They are a very difficult team to defend. They add to their blue line with Tanev. Heiskanen, I think, is criminally underrated in this league. And Ottinger, while he hasn't been phenomenal at times this season, can steal you a game or two, and that's all you need in the playoffs. This is, like, look, I'm talking about a team that is threatening to win the President's Trophy, so it's not like, oh man, can't believe we don't want to play the top team in the league in the first round. But this is absolutely a team that is ready to make some noise in the Stanley Cup final. And toward the Stanley Cup final too. They are absolutely a team that I think you need to be concerned with if you're playing in the West. And I think we absolutely need to be taking them much more seriously. The team that was on top of the West for a long time this season, the Vancouver Canucks, have lost their grip on the West, and now it looks like they might be losing their grip on the Pacific. 3 points up on Edmonton entering play today. Both the Oilers and the Canucks have games against Vegas up next, and Edmonton has a game in hand going into the last little stretch here against Vancouver. Goaltending issues have absolutely crushed Vancouver in this stretch. They're just 3 points up on Edmonton, like I said. DeSmith wasn't great against the Kings the other night. There was a couple of shots, like a couple deflections, but there were some that he had just a clear view on and beat him. And defensively, I still feel like they are a defenseman short. They have fine depth, but I think they needed to go out and get one of the Flames guys, and they didn't. And now they're kind of sitting in the spot where the power play has regressed significantly in ways that I'm not going to say we're expected, because they were playing at such a ridiculous level, but there has been a bit of regression there, actually a rather substantial amount. And Elias Lindholm hasn't been the player that they have needed him to be. So a team that hasn't faced a ton of adversity all season long, aside from will Elias Pettersson sign, is now facing a ton of it. Because I think that home ice, in throughout the Pacific portion of the bracket is going to be very important going into Vancouver, a market that has been playoff starved the last little bit. I still think Vegas eventually leapfrogs the Kings to get into the 2-3 matchup in there. So, like, look, if they don't, then maybe you do want to drop into that 2-3 and face the Kings. But I don't want to be going on the road to take on the Edmonton Oilers in the second round of the playoffs. So, still some massive games left. But it is quite the logjam in the Western Conference right now. And the East playoff race is really interesting heading into play tonight. But it's not the only sport that has some interesting playoff races. Let's look at what's left in the final week of the basketball regular season. The positioning in the East is going to be so interesting in the NBA, and I feel like everything has kind of been thrown out of whack because Joel Embiid is back with the Philadelphia 76ers. They've won a bunch of games in a row now, and they are a game back of the Pacers for sixth and getting out of the play-in. And all of a sudden now, this Philadelphia 76ers team that seemed kind of cooked, and they might still be cooked, by the way, it feels like are playing a very dangerous game with Embiid and the amount that they have played him in some of these games. But could you imagine if they're able to catch the Pacers, get into that sixth seed, and then they're not even on the Celtics side of the bracket? That would be just such an amazing turnaround for this team that kind of felt like they were dead and gone at various points without Joel Embiid. But now they have a chance. Not that the Bucks are a cakewalk or anything like that. They have significantly improved their defense here with Doc Rivers as their head coach, but what a matchup that would be in the second round. We are getting very far ahead of ourselves, but what a matchup that could be if you do get Joel Embiid and the 76ers against Doc Rivers and the Milwaukee Bucks in the second round. A lot of talk about Heat culture last year. It feels like if that was going to be a thing, the Pacers game was the night for it to show up. And I get, like, I was the one who did the show going into the eighth place game last year saying, it's just done in Miami. Their time has come and gone. Need to maybe try to blow it up, start this thing over, and get going. And then, you know, NBA Finals and all. But, like, it hasn't clicked at any point, really, this season. That they have had some moments, but it feels a little bit too disorganized in Miami. Again, that was a really tough loss for the Pacers. Still can't really get a grasp on the Knicks. We kind of figured this weekend, Friday against the Bulls, Sunday against the Bucks, this is a team that's going to go 1-1. Just not the way they did it, losing to the Bucks on Friday and then coming back with a really impressive performance against Milwaukee on Sunday. They're tied with Orlando for third. They don't have the tiebreaker, so they're currently fourth. That third spot is so key. Again, it feels weird to be competing to play Giannis in the second round, but we saw what happened to Milwaukee last year. We've seen what has gone on in different points in Milwaukee this year. You just have a better shot of beating them than you do the Boston Celtics, and then you hope something happens with the Celtics in the first couple of rounds. So that getting into that third spot is going to be so important for them. I think they do get by the Cavaliers if it's the 4-5 again. But I mean, look, you get the three, like, oh, hey, congratulations. Maybe you get Joel Embiid in the first round. If they get the Pacers, I think they beat them rather handily. If they get Embiid, that would be a very interesting story. Again, it's just that this Joel Embiid thing, like I said, it throws everything off in the East. Out West, so much still on the line. We know the playoff teams, the 10 that are getting in. Houston gave it a bit of a run for a bit, and then Golden State put them back in their place. But first in the West, basically on the line Wednesday with Minnesota taking on the Denver Nuggets. This is such an important game, I think, for Denver. Look, if they have to go into Game 7 in Minnesota in the West Final, I think they'll deal with it. But that home court advantage for the Denver Nuggets is so profound, given the, you know, air thinness and all of that out in Denver. I think that they are still the favorites to win the NBA championship this year. Just Jokic is a complete other animal. But credit Minnesota. They lose Karl-Anthony Towns. They don't lose a step. Naz Reid has been tremendous for them. Anthony Edwards has taken a step, and Rudy Gobert has vindicated himself, I think, rather aggressively here. So credit to them, but this is a monster game on Wednesday for Denver. The 4-5 matchup looks locked in. The Clippers and Dallas Mavericks going to face off again. These two have had some epic playoff series. And one more time, Kawhi, maybe, and Luka Doncic against the Clippers is going to be so much fun. And now you look at it, and it's something we've talked about in hockey, and it's popping up here. One of those two teams is going to be thoroughly disappointed that they have been knocked out in round one and are going to have to do a lot of soul searching, because both those teams are kind of all in, right? Dallas doesn't control their own pick until 2030. The Clippers draft, never heard of her. Both these teams are kind of all in on the rosters they have, and one of them is out in the first round. And now the winner gets to play maybe Minnesota, but maybe Denver in the second round. So not great, but that's such an interesting matchup there in potentially the 4-5. And things have kind of broken for the Lakers now. The Kings have some injury issues, and it kind of has opened up LA to maybe get out of that 9-10 game, which would be such a great break for them. AD has played phenomenal basketball this season. LeBron is still LeBron, and it seems like they have kind of got some things together. That would be an interesting matchup. If either way they get Minnesota in the first round, they played Denver hard for four games when they were swept last year. Maybe they'll play Denver hard again if they get them. But either way, a chance for LeBron to get out of that 9-10 game against Golden State would be absolutely, I would say, in LA's favor. And just the worst case scenario for Sacramento, because they do not match up well with Golden State this year, given the injury problems that they have. Also, the Pelicans' injury issues might knock them into the play-in. They're tied with Phoenix for sixth with three games to go. Brandon Ingram has been banged up. Zion Williamson has been great. What a matchup that would be in the first round. Either way, what a matchup it would be in the first round. Either Suns Thunder or Pelicans Thunder in that first round. Just so much great basketball is going to be played. But like I want to consider the Pelicans a real like underdog. Not underdog, but a real dark horse in the West. And if they could have just got into that matchup against the Clippers, I think they match up so well with LA. That would have been such a big break for them. And they just can't do it with the injuries to Ingram. But this has been an important year for New Orleans because it's shown that Zion can still be the guy. And that's very important for this franchise moving forward. So still a lot to cover in the NBA and the NHL as we approach the postseason. All right, let's get into the world of professional wrestling, as WrestleMania was unbelievable last night in Philadelphia. Now they just got to do it again for Raw tonight. I think there's a lot of very interesting stories coming out of WrestleMania. Obviously, went over the night one and night two. Those recaps are available now wherever you're consuming this bit of content. The great storytelling for WWE and entering this new era. Like, last night felt like, I said it on the recap last night. Last night felt like the first scene on the documentary of, all right, and this was the blah, 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 blah era. Renaissance era has been thrown out. Paul Levesque era has been thrown out. I think we can do better, but we got time to figure that one out. Because this has just been a blast to watch. But now I do think there's a little bit more heavy lifting that needs to be done. I'm really interested to see what they do with Damian Priest. I would guess a feud with Drew McIntyre, which would require a Damian Priest babyface turn. So what happens with the Judgment Day? But now Priest is kind of going to be heading up this brand, assuming Cody goes to SmackDown with the Universal Championship, at least for now. Damian Priest is going to be heading up a brand that lost Seth, lost Cody, and lost Punk over the last little bit. Because I would guess Seth Rollins is getting a break now after getting just shit-kicked all weekend long, both by the Bloodline and then Drew McIntyre out at WrestleMania. So there's a lot of pressure on Damian Priest now to step up and be the guy immediately. So A, I'm interested to see what does WWE do to kind of counteract that. Do we get... I would imagine we get a couple big... couple big return debut sort of things for WWE tonight. I would guess we get a Tama Tonga. I wonder if Jacob Fatu is more of a Friday thing, but I wonder if we still get SmackDown and Raw kind of together for these couple of weeks, and then they branch out when Raw goes to Montreal. Speaking of Montreal, Sami Zayn. I wonder if Chad Gable turns on Sami Zayn in this bout on this show tonight, and then he gets an Intercontinental title match in Montreal when Raw is there coming up next week. And then all of a sudden Gable is just like this mega heel going into that matchup. And lastly, do we get any Bloodline tonight? And what is left of the Bloodline? Because like that kind of felt like the end of that one. You know, there's been a lot of story analogies lately, but that did feel like the closing of the chapter on that particular one. The storytelling and the creative in WWE has improved immensely. But at the core of that has been the Bloodline. That basically seemed like whatever that was, it's done now. And so now, where does WWE go creatively? What is that? Like, the core of that is obviously going to be Cody. Eventually, it's going to be Punk, Rollins as well. But that was the main storyline that branched off into so many other directions and elevated so many performers. But it's basically over now, so we'll see where WWE goes. So I think a lot of intrigue going into this one. Also, it's the first Triple H Raw after WrestleMania. Rather famously, last year after WrestleMania, Vince just flat out took over, and the show sucked. So this year, I think Triple H understands how big of a night this is in setting the tone for the rest of the year, and I think they will do so very appropriately. It is not just a big week for one TKO brand. WWE had their big weekend. Now it's time for the UFC to have theirs. It's UFC 300 coming up this weekend. Here are the key storylines to watch for in the co and main events for this Saturday. UFC 300 is set for this weekend, and I think the big storyline coming in, it's a lot of the focus has been on who's not there compared to who is there. Like, the star power for the main event does feel like it is lacking a little bit. This card is tremendous. Up and down the card, the depth of this is just so incredible. But while UFC 100 set the bar with Brock Lesnar in the main event, George St. Pierre on that card as well, that really set these are the two stars of this company, and they are going to take us into the next 100 fights. They tried it with Jon Jones and Daniel Cormier at UFC 200. That didn't work. This time around, the timing didn't work with Conor McGregor. They've loaded up a few other cards leading up to this, which was an interesting choice. And now you have great depth, but there isn't the star power at the top. But you could have a future star in Alex Pereira, as he is a two-division champ 11 fights into his career. Now is the time to establish his legacy, and this is going to be such an amazing spotlight for him. I think as the week goes on, I think there's going to be a lot of focus on, look, this is one of the craziest rises we have seen in the history of combat sports, and they're going to continue to attach that rocket ship to him. But let's not forget the other side of that main event, as Jamal Hill never lost this championship in the cage. He gets injured, and that ends up taking the belt away from him, leading to a lot of this that has gone on in the light heavyweight division over the last little while. now he's back. And I don't know if a lot of people took him very seriously as champion. I think there was a lot of people hoping that Israel Adesanya would move up to 205 pounds and take this fight instead. So Jamal Hill, the main story for him is just reminding everyone how much of a badass you are. In the co-main event, Zhang Weili defends her title against Yao Xianan. Weili has been on a great roll since the back-to-back losses to Rose Namajunas, and this is another one where she can establish a legacy as well. She's won three fights in a row, is just an absolutely tremendous champion, but there are certainly some questions, of course, and she doesn't have necessarily the most marketability right now, going up against Yao Xianan, who has absolutely looked great in back-to-back wins, but it is kind of just two wins in a row. Like, this isn't this up-and-coming challenger who has been steamrolling through everyone and now gets this opportunity. This will be a great fight, but I don't know if either of them feel like a mega star that you would feel like would be getting this spot. So we'll go over non-main event fighters to watch on Tuesday, and it's basically the rest of them, because this card is insane. But this does feel like, while these are intriguing fights, it does feel a little bit lacking for a show as big as what they suggested UFC 300 would be. All right, that's going to do it for the program today. Thank you guys so much for tuning into the show. Coming up tomorrow, going to be looking at the Calgary Flames with Blasty Banter. And then here on Couch Potato Diary, we're going to look at the night after WrestleMania. And we're going to be continuing on with UFC 300 storylines. If you're looking for some Blue Jays talk on home opening day, that is on the Catalanato cast, wherever you got this show. If you're listening in podcast form, make sure you subscribe, leave a review. If you are watching, make sure you subscribe, like, and leave a comment. That stuff really does help. Thank you guys so much for tuning in, and I will talk to all of you later. I'm out.